All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Richard Campbell Podcast. God, that sounds so fucking gay. So, big news. Officially taking on a co-host. He's accepted my offer. I didn't offer him anything financially. Sexually, though, that's a different question.
Oh, yeah.
There's John Seeley over here.
Hey, everybody. I'm glad to be a part of the podcast. Permanent fixture.
Semi-permanent. No, just kidding. Wow, dude. Just kidding, dude.
I'm not that interesting, but come on.
No. You'll be here. I like you. That's why I asked you to do this. And then also, today we have good old Kevin McCoy here.
Hey, that's me.
Finally.
Yeah, after a couple delays.
It's okay.
You know,
it's
I apologize. Bad timing on my part.
It's just a mild resentment. No big deal.
It's all right. You know, if you let it fester and nurse it, you know, it could turn into something real magical.
It'll be just fine. Yeah. Just fine. I won't use over it.
Today.
All right, so this one's going to be fun. We just got to get past the first, 5 minutes where I act gay and nervous and...
I mean, that's some of your most redeeming qualities, though.
Yeah.
It's
kind of really what brought me in here.
The sweat on the palms is one of your biggest, you know, redeeming qualities.
I get nervous. Like, I don't know why. I guess it's because I care about it. I don't know. Anyways, neither here nor there. Mm. So, what's up, Kevin? How you doing, dude?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. You know, just a little bit late to the party tonight because I took a little rain check down to the creek.
Yeah, how was it?
It was great, man. That's one of the most amazing parts about living in the Flagstaff area. You know, you can go snowboarding one weekend and then go cliff jumping the next, all within an hour and a half.
Yeah. Like, it was literally fucking snowing last week.
It was cold. The water was brisk, you know. It's still early in the year, but we were able to get in and catch some sun and didn't come across any danger noodles this week, so.
Yeah, no Western Cerberus Diamondback rattlesnakes this time.
That was last week. I don't know if you saw that Snapchat. They're back out too.
Yes. Did you catch it and eat it?
No. You know, we kind of had a little conversation, you know, at distance, you know, just like, you know, respect your space, you respect my space.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The divine in me recognizes the divine in you.
Did it
namaste and move on?
Basically,
you know?
Yeah. Like,
did
that
it
was,
rattle?
It did not, and this is a common occurrence for me.
Yeah, because they don't do that anymore.
They really don't.
They killed all the ones that do.
Yeah, there's a couple theories to it. You know, there's the theory around, you know, the ones that rattled got shot and killed. There's also the theory that they've gotten more used to humans and traffic, so therefore to them we're not as concerning, so they don't rattle. At least until you basically step on it at that point. So it's a little disconcerting, but at the same time, you know, just. Watch where you're stepping, pay attention to the trail, and you'll be okay. But I've seen three in the last year out on creek days, so...
Yeah, and you're like south of the Sedona area towards Cottonwood, right? When you go, typically.
Oh, it's perfect for it, man. Nice riparian areas, there's water, high desert, they're basking in the sun. They're just trying to have a good creek day, too.
All right, Kevin, tell me about yourself.
Oh, man. Where do we even begin? You know, we want to know what I do now, you know... What I did before. I guess we can start with now.
I want to get down to the deep, deep you, Kevin.
The deep.
Deep inside of you.
Damn.
Elbow.
I'm getting a little aroused here. It's going to be kind of hard to talk. Well, we can start with now. Sometimes going backwards is kind of fun, too. So I'm a Flagstaff local, born and raised in northern Arizona. Grew up here. I am the general sales manager of Arizona Route 66 RVs out in Belmont. I live out there, got a dog, got family, you know, just a good life overall. Leaps and bounds from where I used to be, but, you know, got a pretty good thing going these days. So,
leaps and bounds. Do you want to elaborate?
Elaborate
on maybe
on
some
that?
Of those leaps and bounds?
Yeah, you know, it's background that I share in common with both of you guys here in the room today. But, yeah, I'm a recovered addict, alcoholic, coming up on 8 years this year. June 25th, 2013, got sober. Hard to believe that I'm doing what I'm doing today based off of my previous track record. But, yeah, just grew up in Flagstaff and kind of got into the mix of things back in high school, middle school years, and one thing led to another, and all of a sudden, you know, just kind of went down a crazy path for a while. But is that what you're here for? Is that the spice of life we're looking to talk about today?
We're looking for spice, dude.
We're looking for spice.
Spice wherever we can get it.
Spice.
Wherever you can get it.
So, I don't think I've ever really, asked you personal mm-hmm. questions like this, but, like, I do know you were adopted and stuff. Do you want to talk about that, maybe?
Sure. Yeah, that's actually a pretty significant part of my background, and it has a happy ending, so that's always a good story to talk about. Yeah, I was adopted as a kid. You know, there's a lot of different ways that families tend to raise kids who are adopted. There's different schools of thought on what you should do and what you shouldn't do. You know, I know there's a lot of people out there that parents maybe don't tell them or wait until they're a certain age and then tell them. I grew up with a family that had the mentality of, you know, there's no secrets, there's no reasons to, you know, not talk about things. So I always knew I was adopted ever since I was a little kid. My adoptive parents lived in Munns Park, which is about 20 minutes south of Flagstaff. Salt of the earth people. My dad was the superintendent for the Coconino and Kaibab for the Forest Service, and my mom had a little antique shop out in Munns Park selling gifts and antiques. And, you know, they just lived the sweet, quiet Irish Catholic life out in the mountains out there, and they adopted two kids. Yeah, they adopted two. Didn't have eight, so they weren't that Catholic, I guess.
But, did they have separate beds?
No. Oh, okay. One bed. How do you think you end up with eight kids, man? You don't get no separate bed.
The rumor is you just push them together. You know what I mean? Once every nine months.
Okay, I can see that. But my dad did have eight brothers and sisters, so I had a huge family growing up.
Okay.
I got 16 aunts and uncles. I got more first cousins than I can count. Got to wear name tags at big family reunions sort of thing. So.
You got to do it at ours, too.
Yeah, but it's fun, man. I enjoyed it a lot, man. Grow up with camping trips and all that and just, you know, always having a lot of people in my life. It was a very social upbringing. But, yeah, the adopted stuff. I also had an adopted brother, so we weren't blood related. He was adopted before me. He's about 2.5 years older. And, yeah, I mean, we grew up a pretty normal life. I didn't have any, like, particularly, well, what I didn't think I had any particular weird feelings about it, but I still had feelings about it growing up as a kid, you know.
Yeah,
I remember, you know, having questions, you know, always wondering, you know, who my birth mom was, who my birth dad was. And I grew up with very little information because my parents didn't have much information. You know, they adopted me through Catholic Social Services, and that process is called a closed adoption. It's a process that's a little archaic. They don't really do things that way anymore. It's very uncommon. But the rulings on it were basically, once you put your child up for adoption, you were not allowed any contact. Couldn't reach out, couldn't know each other's names. I was not allowed to know my birth mom's name. She wasn't allowed to know anything about where I was growing up. She got to have, like, brief contact through letters with my adoptive parents for the first 2 years that I was alive, but that was it. So the information I did know was that my mom was really young. She was in high school at the time that she got pregnant. And that my dad was a less than respectable kind of guy, that he was older, you know, not in high school, that, you know, things weren't planned, obviously, and that there was some trouble there in terms of, you know, his involvement. And so I knew that he was a criminal, I knew that he was in jail, and I knew ever since I was a child that we were supposed to be on the lookout for anything that might seem unusual in terms of him trying to pop up into the picture.
Yeah,
I got held back from elementary school twice, two separate occasions on K through 6, over fears of an individual showing up that might have been my dad. So it was kind of like a spooky thing, like a weird thing in the back of your mind, where it didn't come up often, but there was always kind of some weird feelings around that.
Yeah, yeah. What? So how did... Because you're in contact with your mother now, right?
Yeah.
And okay, so how did that happen?
Yeah, how did we get from point A to point B? Yeah. So, you know, all through growing up, you know, I was always curious, you know, and some adopted kids are, some aren't, you know, and it's just kind of like a 50-50 chance you're one way or the other, you know, but for me, I was always curious, you know, I'm the kind of person who likes to know things, I like to have answers for everything, and, you know, who's your mom? That's kind of like a big one, you know, so, you know, I was definitely interested in finding out. When you turn 18, Catholic Social Services will allow you to reach out and try to contact your birth parent, but they won't give you information. You have to send a letter to Catholic Social Services, and then they, through an intermediary, will reach out to them and see if you want to have contact. A little interesting part to the story is that there was a big mix-up at the time that I began that process. When I was about 21, I decided to reach out. I wrote a letter and submitted it. And the social worker called me up a couple weeks later and said, you know, I need to talk to you. You know, do you mind if I visit you in Flagstaff? And so the social worker drove up from Phoenix. And we met at Little America and we chatted up a bit. And long story short, so you know there's a happy ending, the information that she gave me was not correct at the time. It was a little bit of a personal opinion on her part mixed in with just actual truth and facts. But long story short, she said that my birth mom was, you know, aware I was trying to reach out, was happy for me, but was not interested in having any contact. She was currently raising a family of her own and had 3 children and didn't want to, you know, mess things
cause
up.
Cause any problems, time. Yeah.
So that hit pretty hard, you know? Growing up as a kid, always wanting to, you know, wonder about who she was and have some sort of relationship. You know, that was kind of a sucker punch, you know, or so it felt at the time. And it wouldn't be until years later that I would figure out that that's not exactly how that transpired. But I got a pretty big resentment. You know, I remember thinking, I'm like, wow, you know, here's this lady who, you know, just basically wants to pretend like I didn't exist and is trying to start a new life. And, yeah, I was mad. I was mad about it, you know, held on to a resentment for quite a while, and that played into a lot of other things that weren't quite going that well in my life, especially around substance abuse. But I got sober around 23, 24 years old, and after I'd been sober for several years, you know, I'd, you know, taken some time to talk to some people about it, you know, talk to some professionals, and I wanted to try to reach out again. So I remember contacting Catholic Social Services again and just saying, hey, you know, I'd like to, you know, write a letter if you want to let them know, anything like that. And all of a sudden, a week later, I'm sitting at work one day and I get a phone call. And it's Catholic Social Services again. And you know, I hate to leave these guys a 1-star review, but I really have to because I get a phone call and I'm at work. And they said, is this Kevin McCoy? I said, yeah. They said, well, this is Catholic Social Services. Just wanted to let you know that your mother wants to meet you. Here's her email address. Her name is Callie. Have a nice day. And hung up. That was the therapeutic process I got from them. It was about a 45-second phone call, name and an email address, and good luck, pat on the back. So, needless to say, I took a little time to process it. I talked to my adoptive family about it, you know, because I want to keep them in the loop with everything, and I decided to reach out. And we started corresponding through email for a little while, and I come to find out that a lot of those things I heard when I was 21 was not construed correctly, you know, was very... far from what it really was. What it really was is, you know, she did in fact have 3 kids. She did in fact want to meet me, but at the time, my siblings were very young. And they had taken the parenting approach of wanting the kids to be just a little bit older before they said, surprise, you have a big brother out there, and here's this whole backstory you haven't heard. So it wasn't a lack of wanting, it was more of a, just wanted to wait a few years. And that was cool, because at the time that I was contacting them, you know, my little sister was 15, and my little brother was... you know, a teenager as well, and the timing was right, and a few emails later, and all of a sudden, we're doing our first family reunion ever. You know, they drove up to Flagstaff, and, you know, came up and met me at my house, and it was just a, it was a pretty awesome experience, man. It was very emotional, very, all kinds of feelings, you know, all good ones, you know, happy, you know, sad, but, like, in a good way, you know, like, surprised, and, you know, over the last 4 years now, I've had the incredible opportunity to build a relationship with my birth mom and my birth siblings, through her. And they're absolutely amazing people, man. I mean, you know, for the first time in my life, I have a little sister. That was a big adjustment, trying to learn how to properly handle that. You know, I grew up with an older brother. We don't talk really much, and that doesn't mean we don't love each other. That's just how it is. All of a sudden, I got this little girl blowing me up all the time, telling me about her life and asking me for advice. And it was a little overwhelming, you know, trying to adjust to this suddenly much larger family.
Yeah.
But all positive things, man. It's been an awesome learning experience for me, and I'm very grateful to have them in my life. Learned more things about the other side of my family, too. You know, still not too stoked on the idea of my birth dad, but I did find out that he's a rock star in Istanbul, Turkey. He got famous on The Voice out there, and he's just living his best life, partying it away. Needless to say, I know where my alcoholism came from, so I'm able to track that down genetically. There's a couple earmarks in there that I was like, okay, this makes sense now. You know, maybe some of my more eccentric moments, you know, my obsession with, you know, figuring out how much whiskey it's going to take for me to get the next misdemeanor, you know, all this sort of thing started up. So
is that where he's from, Turkey, or?
So from what I understand, he is Syrian by birth, grew up in America, and moved back there about 11 years ago. And, gotcha. You know, turns out even my birth mom didn't have too much information on him. You know, he's just a kind of a dude that was out there, and, you know, long story short, then I was out there.
Yeah.
You know, things happen, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, so it's been a wild ride, you know, and I've had a big growth in myself and getting answers to a lot of these questions and adjusting to a different dynamic of my family that I never expected, and also being able to, like, enjoy it with my adoptive parents. You know, I will always call my adoptive parents just my parents, because that's the people who raised me. My brother is my brother. You know, growing up as an adopted kid, you learn that blood really means nothing, and what means everything is the people who decide to stick with you in your life no matter what. And that's who your family is.
Yeah.
And it's been great for them, too, because their family just got bigger. You know, all of a sudden I've got this, you know, little sister out there who's hitting up my adoptive mom, and, you know, just, like, everybody's getting together, and it's turned out into a win-win across the board.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, that's a really cool ending to that story, that your family just kind of, like, grew, like, twice the size.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and it doesn't go that way for everybody, you know? And so, like, I had to be emotionally prepared going into that it could go anyway. You know, it could go really badly. It could be rejection, or, you know, maybe there's something really wrong in my family history in terms of their mental health or how they're doing. You know, you don't know what you're getting into when you open that door.
Yeah.
You know, and so I've been really blessed that, you know, at least one side of that door, one of the two doors, you know.
Well, I don't know, dude. Daddy's, what is that? Armenian rock star? That's what people from Turkey are, right?
Yeah.
Armenian rock star is not a bad, that doesn't sound too bad. It
doesn't sound too bad, you know, but, like, you know, that's like his, you know, like, his one shot. Yeah, that's like his 15 minutes of fame moment, you know. I'm pretty sure his whole life hasn't been, like, a, you know, rock star, movie star. I know while it was in the U.S., you know, it was mostly, like, a truck driver, you know, and, like, you know, so, like, more humble means, you know, he hasn't been out there, like, living the, you know, celebrity lifestyle the whole time, you know.
Yeah, okay.
But maybe I'll go take up the voice in Turkey. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I think you could win, dude.
I've heard you sing, practice, you know, maybe.
But, I mean, like, give me some journey, dude. Keep going. Yeah. No, that's, yeah, I don't want the limelight. That's not the kind of life I'm looking for.
Really? I'm trying to get filthy rich and famous.
I mean, the first part of that sounds great.
Yeah, you know? I just want to be, well, yeah, maybe not famous. I don't know if I want people, like, trying to take pictures of me and stuff.
See, famous sounds hard, right? You know, like, it sounds great on paper, you know? Oh, everybody adores you. All these people care about you, but, dude, like, the privacy? I don't know if I'd be about that. Having people constantly up in your business, never getting to enjoy anything in your life. Every little secret gets out to the press and is in the papers, and, you know, but tabloids can be fun, you know, because those get spicy, even when it's not
they
real.
They do get spicy. I like to sit there and read the tabloids.
I mean, they don't even need to make stuff up about us, though. They could just go digging in public records. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, this man punched a paramedic, EMT. Like, you know, that's just, you know, historical data.
Yeah, that's just a given fact. I pled guilty to that.
You punched an EMT.
I did, you know, and in my defense, there isn't one. I really, really feel bad about that. Yeah, you know, I was highly intoxicated on multiple substances, and they were trying to strap me down in an ambulance, and they really wanted me to be there, but I didn't really want to be there. So there was a conflict of interest, you know, and yeah, I felt like it was my decision to make, and they disagreed, and, well, you know, apparently only one side of that worked out, and it wasn't mine.
Which is crap. Should be your decision.
Yeah, it should be. And looking back in retrospect on that one, I probably could have played the long haul and beat that one. But I mean, in all honesty, I punched a cop or a paramedic, man.
Yeah. Good thing it wasn't.
I deserve to get a little trouble for that. Yeah, cop, that might have gone, you know, a little bit differently.
Yeah, there's no fight in that.
No.
There's no fight.
No, that's a one-sided. That is a one-directional fight. Path.
Yeah. So, Catholic. Catholic. You said you were raised Catholic?
Raised Catholic, yep.
Now, do you still follow, like, Catholic beliefs, or?
I do not. You know, and I got nothing against it. You know, my entire family is Catholic, both adoptive and birth side. You know, for them, it's, you know, very important to them, you know, the whole Catholic thing. And for me, it doesn't quite fit. You know, I am Christian, Christian-esque, maybe. I mean, I'm not, like, the most role model example.
Christian-esque?
I consider myself a Christian, but, like, I don't want to be put up as, like, a poster child by it, because I'd be a real bad poster child for that.
So, like, you believe in God and Jesus?
Yeah, believe in God, believe in Jesus. Right, cool. But Catholicism, for me, is, you know, I think you need to find what fits you, you know? And, like, you know, for my parents and all that, you know, they wouldn't have it any other way. You know, for me, I go to a Catholic church, and I don't feel the connection quite the same way as I do in, like, a non-denominational Christian setting. You know, for me, it's a little bit too dogmatic, you know, a little bit too, how would you say it? I guess religious.
You like the upbeat singing, don't you?
Is that it's what it not is? Even is the singing. You know? I mean, I do enjoy the singing. You know, but I like, I guess, you know, when I look at Christianity and I try to think about what it's about, and I'm picturing this toga sandal wearing hippie dude, you know, walking around talking about peace and love. Yeah, I don't really then say this clearly must mean that we need rigid structure and dogmatic behaviors and all these specific movements and gestures canon law. Yeah. It just, yeah, for me, Catholicism's a little too rigid. You know, I feel like if I'm following, you know, the rogue dude's lead, I feel like he was a little bit more laid back, a little bit more peace and love, a little more casual.
Yeah.
In his approach. You know, and so for me, that's the vibe.
Walked into a desert for like 40 days, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to go hang out over here, guys.
Yeah. Hey.
No, I'm not trying to like make fun of Jesus.
Oh, no, I know you're not. Yeah. But no, yeah, everybody's got, you know, different strokes for different folks. And,
yeah.
You know, for me, I might have to
different folks.
Okay. Break the Catholic tradition. You know, maybe I won't have 8 kids. You know, maybe I will. You know, maybe that part's just genetic. I don't know.
We'll see.
I guess genetic wouldn't count for me.
We'll see.
Nope, that's still there. Yeah.
That's pretty much one a year for the next 8 years.
Yeah, that's going
to
be a...
You don't want to get too old before you start doing that.
Yeah, I feel like I should really run this by my girlfriend first. You know, it might be like a conversation with.
Yeah, just hide her birth control or something. I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
She'd be hiding my body a week later.
We do not condone that.
No, that is a frowned upon, but funny. Funny concept. So what else you got for me?
Huh? Oh, I don't know. I thought you were going to talk more, dude.
I mean, I can keep talking, man.
I know you can. You look super relaxed, and I'm over
here,
like,
super
getting hot and flustered.
I went in ice cold water today, dude. I got nice and cooled down. I had a busy week, and I finally got to unwind a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm, like, traumatized, like, through my dad, because my dad grew up in, like, a Catholic setting, but, like, back in, like, the 60s, you know what I mean? And went to, like, a Catholic school, and he always tells the story about how he's at the Catholic school, and he, like, falls off a slide and breaks his wrist. And the nuns, like, wouldn't take him to the doctor, and he called them fucking penguins, you know what I mean, when he's, like, 10 years old.
Sure.
And do you have any, like, similar experiences? Did you go to a Catholic school?
I did. I didn't go to a Catholic school, but I went to Sunday school. Mm. I went to a public elementary school, and I went to Sunday school. And I'd say that that's a bit circumstantial. That's not, like, there's no, like, baseline, like, you know, Catholic dogma around, like, you know, like, child neglect, for instance. You know, like, that might have been a little bit more selective of those individual penguins.
Right.
But... You know, they are a little rigid, you know, they are a little, it's a bit more fire and brimstone. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, most people who are familiar with growing up Catholic, you know, there's a lot of the, you know, kind of the shame, guilt approach, at least, you know, in terms of the how to handle children in a Sunday school setting. And I have nothing against it, you know, there's certain folks that it really works for, and like, they like those rules, they like having that structure, it's important to them. For me, it didn't fit. You know, I tried going back to a Catholic church, you know, after I got sober and after I started looking into religion again, because for a large portion of my life, I was agnostic and or atheist, depending on which checkpoint we were at. And, you know, I have nothing bad to say about it. I spent a lot of time talking with the priest at that particular campus, just kind of asking him questions and reconsidering, you know, what might be best for me. And, you know, I know for a lot of people it makes them incredibly happy, but for me, it wasn't the right fit. Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit more charismatic in my approach to things, and so I kind of like that style more, and you know how I choose to pursue my particular beliefs. But the whole family's Catholic, you know, so that's always fun. You know, and there's different sides of it too. There's like different camps. Like we can't really, you know, put a particular.
What do you mean different camps?
Group of people into it. Well, I mean, for instance, I've got, you know, my birth family side, and I've got my adoptive family side.
Well, yeah.
They're both Catholic, but like. They would almost be like the equivalent of like a conservative versus a Democrat in terms of what their religious views are. So there can be differences even in their approach within the same religion. You know, some might be for that more dogmatic, you know, strict approach, and some can be a lot more lackadaisical and, you know, relaxed in their approach. And, you know, I don't know if that's particular to the religion or maybe just the individuals. I mean, my adoptive parents grew up in the 60s and 70s, so... Maybe all the weed my dad smoked at Humboldt has something to do with it, and religion doesn't have anything to do with it. But yeah, it was interesting to me when I met them, my birth family, and got to know them better, to kind of see how different their approaches were to the same belief system. I guess I expected uniformity, and it didn't quite work out that way.
I have no idea about anything Catholic whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I didn't even think, like, Catholic was, like, a real life, like, still, like, a real life religion until I got older and met people who were Catholic. I'm like...
Yeah, it definitely is.
Where the fuck's a Catholic church at? Like, there's one right there.
Bro, there's, like, five in Flagstaff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I thought it was just, like, this outdated religion people didn't do. And then there's, like, a real
Vatican
fucking
Vatican City is its own fucking country. It's for sure real.
And, the Kurt one's pretty cool, too. Yeah, I mean, if you listen to him, he kind of spits some fire. I like the guy. You don't have to be religious to like that guy.
He's didn't he just go visit, like, some, I don't know, they said that if you were to ever come here, we're going to kill you, and then he just fucking went there and did a fucking speech. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I
don't know
the story, but I wouldn't be the least bit surprised.
Yeah, he was, sounds like a Pope.
Yeah,
he was like,
did he take the Pope mobile?
Y'all going to kill me there? No, dude, outside of the Pope mobile, just gave a speech.
Well, I mean, the same token, like, you know, even if you go into, like, a bad country, like, nobody wants to be the guy to do that.
No.
Oh, that's just a bad look, you know, internationally.
Yeah.
Can't imagine getting any good press for that. But yeah, no, Catholics are very... very real.
They're
still out there.
It's just weird how, like, I don't know, I feel like I was, like, closed off for, like, a good part of my childhood, or I just didn't, like, there was no reception of, like, what was on the outside world, you know? It was just, it was like, I'm in this small town, I know where to get drugs, and that's all I need, you know?
Yeah, we don't deep dive outside of our own bubble either, you know, as kids.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, for me, you know, like, I didn't really know much about other belief systems or anything like that. I thought, you know, everybody was supposed to think what I think, you know? That's just kind of how we raise kids, I guess. And
I think we all still think that way a little bit, too,
I mean,
so.
Well, you know, I mean, if everybody just did what I said, everything would be great.
Right,
you
know, right. It's, yeah.
Unfortunately, the world is
McCoy
just
McCoy 2024,
me.
So.
Hey, man, that's not a bad idea, you know?
I think you can do it.
Would I be able to? No.
Oh,
no,
then
thank
you
God.
Can't run.
But, you know, VP, you know, I could shoot for that, you know, vice pres.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Who would you want to be your president?
Ooh, that's tough, you know? I mean, I like Crenshaw. Crenshaw's got a good vibe, you know?
I don't
Joe
think
Rogan,
want...
maybe just because I want to watch the world burn, and that could be fun. I mean, just
I
free
think...
DMT for everybody.
Everybody. Listen,
maybe
I don't
like a Bernie Rogan
world would
2024.
Burn, okay? Joe Biden is our president right now. I think Joe Rogan could do it.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Oh, man, I'll never get tired of it. Yeah, we live in interesting times. Yeah, I feel like, you know, you don't have to subscribe to any particular party to be kind of disappointed with where we've been for the last decade or so.
Yeah.
We used to pick really regal, profound, dignified leaders. You know, you look back through the history books.
Like proper statesmen to
and,
represent
and maybe
us.
We build up, you know, like Washington and Lincoln and all them a little bit too much because we weren't really around. None of us have grandparents around. So we're really just talking about history and projecting, you know. But we do have ones
figures.
New enough, you know, to where we do remember. And there's TV record. You've got Teddy Roosevelt. You know, you've got John F. Kennedy. You know, you've got like some real, real profound leaders.
I mean, the Kennedys were kind of messed up in their own rights, though, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, but
so,
they kept that shit, you know, behind curtains.
Right,
you know,
right, right.
Doors,
don't pay attention,
you know,
to the man behind the curtain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, at least they were subtle. You know? But nowadays, you know, wow, it's just kind of different, you know? I guess really either side, I wouldn't mind, you know, having somebody in there that, like, you know, I was actually like, yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, I think... On that note, like, I think Dan Crenshaw would be, like, a good choice for it, because he's willing to, like, conduct himself bipartisanly.
Sure.
Same with, like, Tulsi Gabbard.
And we need more of that
and
right now.
Andrew Yang.
We need a lot more of that right now. Because that's, you know, the partisan thing has just been getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, and there's this,
and
like...
it's not helping, you know? And I had this conversation the other day with my girlfriend, actually, and we realized, you know, we figured out a plan on how we can save the world. Or at least the United States of America. And so if anybody's listening to this podcast, this is for you. This is a personal suggestion. You know, you don't have to take it, live your life, but you should definitely date somebody on the other side of the fence.
Is she a Democrat?
You know? What? My girlfriend?
Yeah.
She's like a little bit. You know, she's probably more centrist. But like, we figured out if everybody dated the opposite, we would balance each other out. Instead of making these deeper divided camps, you know, maybe we need to just like, make everybody just kind of mix again and everybody sort of balances each other out, you know? I mean, then I wouldn't be nearly as frustrated with, like, you know, hipster guys. Like, at least then if they're wearing flannel, their girlfriend could teach them how to operate a chainsaw, you know? And it wouldn't
I
be
like
nearly
flannel.
As obnoxious.
Yeah,
really?
I don't... Yeah,
you know?
Flannel's great.
Yeah.
I have a fucking ponytail. I know how to operate a chainsaw.
Yeah, you know?
I find that offensive.
Well, you know, then you probably still need some work.
I think... So, yeah, that would probably help.
I don't know how you reconcile the, like, the, like, real, like, I guess real, but, like, the pure blood feminism into, like, the culture of conservatism when you come down to things like that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, have you considered just them all getting drunk and seeing what happens? You know, like, it might just go out the window. I hear you. You know, and some of the camps are so divided, but you know what? I personally don't care for anybody that far on either side of the line. You know?
Right.
I don't care for the people who are too far to the right, the alt-right side. You know, I don't care too much at all for the people who are too far to the left. You know, I think everybody for the most part agrees. There's a reason why they're outliers. People,
right.
You know,
this is where, like, social media has played, like, a big part, right? Is because, like, a small percentage of the population who are screaming the loudest, people just like and share that shit, and there's a bigger fucking audience for them to listen to, and then, like, we think that there's a huge problem when there's really not a huge problem.
Exactly, and that's kind of been the name of the game for the last decade with the advent of social media. It's we like to look at the world, and especially, you know, our own politics, you know, the United States, under a microscope. We like to, you know, look at one thing happening and pretending like it's an epidemic, when in reality we have 357 million Americans. That thing almost never happens. And the statistical likelihood of that happening is, about 1 in 357 million.
Yeah,
but we're going to talk about it like it's an epidemic and it's plaguing society. Yeah, and we're going to blow things out of proportion and get everybody worked up. And why? Well, because a lot of these media organizations, they get paid by views. So you know, if you don't have something exciting to get worked up about, then you're probably not going to get as much money.
Well, and then also, like, politicians hold a lot of that blame, too, because the partisan politicians get elected by being partisan. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they also strum up that fear of, like, the other side, and, like, we can't work with them. They're terrible. Blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And that's how they continue to get reelected.
Versus us game.
Exactly.
Man, it's pretty consistent.
It's stupid.
But then you get to, you know, there is a silver lining, you know, and it's important that we don't get too caught up.
Everybody's voices need to be heard.
Like, well, and you know, more so than that, though, it's realizing that there's so many more voices out there. Like you said, you know, these are the loud ones, these are the exceptions, and they're the ones that we're seeing on media. But, like, pay attention in your day-to-day life, you know? Look around at your coworkers, look around at, you know, the people in your life and all that, and you quickly realize that people aren't nearly as extreme as what you see on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. You'll find that everybody else is, by comparison to what's out there in media, you know, very middle of the road. Everybody, for the most part, gets along. People just genuinely want to, you know, be kind to others and have people be kind to them in return. And it's not nearly as bad and dramatic as, you know, our, you know, social media would like us to believe.
Right. No, and there's evidence for that in just, like, voting history. If you look at the last cycle with, like, you've got conservative states like Florida passing minimum wage laws of $15 an hour. And even in Arizona, we voted blue senator and voted for Joe Biden, even though, like, we're still relatively conservative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, the truth is America is more purple than people.
Sure, exactly. I mean, and I live on
we was included in there, but okay.
Well, I mean, you know, like, for instance, I'm conservative. You know, most of my coworkers are. And, you know, my mechanic, you know, he considers himself a very conservative man. Does he want to go storm the Capitol in Washington, D.C.? No. He wants to get off of work and get drunk at the bar next door to our work and then go home and play Borderlands, which I thought was awesome because he's, like, 70. And he apparently is a gamer. So that was, like, a
That's
cool
super dope,
brand.
Yeah.
You know, people just want to live their lives. They want to be happy, you know? And so we can't look at 1,000 people, you know, from the entire 357 million who decided to get on a plane and make asses out of themselves in January as a representation of
the population. Well, and it wasn't even everybody that was there. It was like there was multiple different protests going on.
Oh yeah, and the same goes with the inverse. You know, when you look at the BLM riots from last year, you know, and how much of that happened. You know, that is not reflective of everybody out there at all. You know, you got all the people who are just looking to start trouble, you know, going to a place and starting trouble together. So we get to see a lot of the bad apples and the worst examples when we turn on the TV, when we turn on media, and, you know, they kind of want us all to think that that's the way people are, but if we pay attention to our day-to-day lives, we find out that that's not true, and at least for me, that's pretty refreshing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I kind of like my boring, you know, middle-class life, you know?
Yeah.
If Biden wants to put me on a list for my AR-15, you know, he's welcome to surveil me. Like, it's not that entertaining. Like, he can watch the TikTok videos that I look at night with me, you know? Maybe we could have a good chuckle together over something.
Just watch me angry at my phone, you know?
Yeah, it's not, I just don't get it, you know? people just get super worked up about things. Yeah, but the AR thing I'm a little bit worked up about, but yeah,
that's psycho. It's okay. Ducey just signed that the legislation.
Sure, he did, but like that's okay, so you gotta look at it like the way the marijuana laws were up until very recently, right? Where you had it illegal at a federal level, but legal at a state level, so the state's not going to come for you. You know, there's not going to be a single Arizona government official or public official who will ever come for you for those things. But
okay.
If the Alphabet Boys did want to fly out and bother you for some particular reason, they still can.
Yeah, for one gun.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And the question is, you know, it's like, you know, then once they do that, you know, Ducey and what he just put into place, that would actually lead that arrest into a civil case that would then make its way directly up to the Supreme Court. And so, if anything, that's kind of what Ducey wants. He's kind of saying like, hey, your move, come on over here, do something stupid, and we get to challenge this in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Which is why Biden is now already looking into how to manipulate the Supreme Court. And
you think Biden's doing that?
He just talked about that two days ago.
Like, you think Biden was the
instigator behind it? Well, yeah. I mean, you know, he'd been making campaign suggestions to the effect while he was running, you know, saying that he was going to look into it. I personally think it'd be a very poor decision. It doesn't matter what party you're from.
I
There's
agree.
A reason why nobody's done that in the last 150 years since the last Civil War.
Yeah.
Is when we kind of decided that that was a really bad vibe.
So maybe this is just me and, like, nothing against, like, Democrats in general, but I just feel like Biden specifically is more like a Manchurian candidate type
president. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. You know? Yeah, you know, the guys, you know.
That's just me. John's head's rolling right now, dude. He's about to freak out.
No, I'm good. I just, I mean, he like, has a track record for this because he helped do the original assault weapons ban, like, back in the 80s or 90s or whatever. So this isn't out of form for him, right?
Okay.
Careful. We might want to be careful on what we tie Biden to on his previous track record. Like his crime bill.
Right, yeah, we could talk.
People tend to say that he's changed, so which one is it?
Well, we can talk about that if you want.
Right now, before we talk about anything else, I'm going to say it right now, okay? Kamala Harris, 2022.
Yeah, first of all, Joe Biden wasn't the candidate that I wanted. Because the way that...
And Trump wasn't the candidate that I, like, he was...
Right, and the fact that we have to vote for candidates that we don't want to, it relatively sucks. Biden did a terrible thing with the crime bill. There were also good things that were in that crime bill as well, like the domestic violence against women stuff, you know what I mean? And so, like, we can nitpick at that. I'm just saying that I definitely think he talked about gun control in his, so I think we should definitely give him all the credit for any gun control legislation that he passes.
And I'm saying we should just give him credit for his voting history as well.
Listen, I'm just of the firm belief that there is, like, an ominous presence out there that pulls the strings, okay? That's all I'm saying. I'm not, like, QAnon or anything, but, like, there's some shit going on behind closed doors.
Well, there always is shit going on behind closed doors.
When you get lobbyists involved and people paying off politicians, I mean, you know, there's the whole China thing with Biden, too.
So yeah.
It's fair to say that there might be people influencing his decisions. I don't think he's very much his own man anymore.
I don't think any politician is their own man, because that kind of goes besides the point of being a politician. Yeah. One is you're supposed to be, like, responsible to your constituents, the people that vote you into office, right?
Yeah.
So you're already not your own man if you're doing it the right way. If you're doing it the wrong way is you're taking this money and then, you know, going against your constituents' interest all around. So.
And that's kind of how it's been, for, like, the last 50 years, you know. That's...
I'm just trying to stoke the fire here.
No, you got to poke the bear a little bit. Yeah, you know, he's definitely not my pick either, you know. It would be nice if we could see everybody just kind of go back to a more, you know, middle ground, more compromise, more understanding. Like I said, all you listeners, y'all should really start dating people on the opposite side of the fence. Do the legwork for me. That'd be great. Take one for the team. You know, just so we can get back to, you know, a little bit of the ability to get along and to compromise and stop saying, you know, oh, these guys are, you know, evil. These guys are evil. And just, you know, projecting anybody that doesn't share your opinions as, you know, your worst public enemy, when in reality, everybody's, for the most part, having the same general wants and trying to find different ways to
get there. All for compromise. Like, I would have voted Bernie Sanders over Trump if we were given Bernie Sanders. That's how willing to compromise I am.
Sure. No, I mean, Trump was no one's pick, you know, but
I don't think Trump was, like, the worst president, and I don't think he was as bad as they made him out to be.
No, I mean, sometimes he
could have said on Twitter.
He definitely wasn't a statesman, though. You can definitely, you can't give him that one.
He was not as articulate as we like our politicians to be. But there's nothing, that's not...
You know, and I try, because I've come to accept the fact that maybe just in my lifetime I'm not going to get to see leaders again like they used to be, of people that we can look up to and admire. You know, a long time ago, I came to the realization that it's like, you know, it's not about what they say. You know, I'm not looking for the president of the United States to be my role model. If I want a good role model, there's a lot better people I can look to in my life. But I'm looking for him to do his job. You know, president's got a job to do, run the country, so I'm more concerned with what he's doing and not what he's saying. You know, Trump can, you know, run his mouth on Twitter all day, but I'm much more invested in what bills he's signing, what legislation, how is he impacting America in a tangible way that matters, you know? And in reality, from that front, you know, he didn't do too much damage.
He did a lot of good in there, too.
So we'll see what the next 4 year holds. I would love to be surprised and see Biden, you know, maybe talk differently than he votes. Yeah, and I'd be very happy if I could see that trend continue.
I'm optimistic about the future of this country.
Yeah.
Just with the leaders that are coming up, right? It's like, a big problem is like the old guard that are like, that's in place.
Fucking, and like, why? Yeah. What is he, 76 years old, 77 years old? Yeah.
And we talk about career politicians, you know? Yeah. I mean, he's a prime example, somebody that's been in politics in a major way. You know, we're talking high up, important job roles for the last 40, 50 years. Yeah. So how can we expect anything but more of the same if we decide to make the guy president?
I know, it's stupid.
Yeah.
But I think we have the opportunity to make some positive changes moving forward. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right, Kevin. Yeah. You convinced me. You have my vote, dude.
Yeah.
When do you turn 35?
Bro, let's not talk about that. That's getting a little closer than I'd like it to.
Yeah.
It's coming up in 3 years. Wait.
Oh, you can run in 2024.
Okay, 2024.
Wait, no, I think we probably should look. Because I think you have to be 35 before you are put into office. What's your birthday?
Yeah, good. January 15th, man.
By like a day.
Yeah. I'm golden.
Tight.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right, dude.
I'm not sure if I want that job.
No, I don't.
It's kind of a shitty job.
That makes you the perfect person to be.
I hate golf.
You don't have to play golf. Biden hasn't played golf once.
No, that's just because Biden can't walk in. Yeah. I mean, the best way to protect my AR-15 is put it at the top of a flight of stairs.
Biden not playing golf is not...
I mean, the Alphabet Boys can go up those stairs just fine.
Yeah, well, you know, somebody's got to do that for him, I guess. What if we just stop funding bad government agencies?
I'm down for that, man.
I'm down for that, too.
Yeah. I mean, ATF, which one of those three letters are you really concerned about in your day-to-day life anymore?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the sheriff's got all those things. Yeah. You know, just fine.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need a separate department for that. This isn't the 1920s. We're not running prohibition anymore.
Yeah. And that's pretty much where they came from. But they do a lot of like RICO stuff and like importing and like that. That's
There's a lot of like illegal arm sales.
Can we just pass that over to the FBI?
You could. Yeah,
but like,
certainly could.
Do you really have confidence in the FBI?
No, that's why I want them to be FBI.
They literally, I can't remember.
Can't have confidence in the ETF either. So.
I can't remember exactly what school shooter it was, ETF, but like, the FBI watched him for months and did nothing, and then he went and shot up his school.
Well, but you see, that's kind of an interesting thing. That's a fun topic to talk about in politics, is where do we draw the line on infringing on somebody else's right versus making good sound judgment, and that's something that... You know, a lot of my fellow conservatives would be upset about is talking about red flag laws, which Biden just talked about last week and wanted to make them easier. Well, if the FBI were to have done something about the kid before he ever did anything wrong, then, on the flip side, everybody would be saying, oh, you violated this guy's rights and went after him and he didn't even do anything. So where is the...
Okay.
How do we resolve this?
Yeah, when you get to the point like that, you're in like a Minority Report like territory where you're committing thought crimes.
That was a good movie.
It's a great movie, by the way.
But you know what? Some of these guys, they're showing red flags for months, you know, and you're hearing reports of the FBI watching.
When he's under 18, why does he have?
Well, he didn't. It was the family members, and he took it. It wasn't his.
Yeah.
You know, and so it makes it hard. You know, how do we properly handle these situations? At what point are we intervening where we need to? Where on the flip side of that coin, though, you could have those things abused. And let's say I don't like John. You know, let's say I say, you know what, I don't like this guy, and he's my next door neighbor, and I know he's got a gun. So I call the sheriff and I say, hey, my next door neighbor's, you know, unstable, and I heard him yelling at his wife. I could just make something up. and they're going to go knock his door down with a no-knock warrant and take all of his stuff and make a criminal out of the guy because I said so. And that's what the red flags allow. You know, there was a guy who got killed in a standoff last year because of a neighbor making a bad call on a red flag law.
Listen, so, I don't know much of this stuff. I'm a headliner guy, so I love how you're explaining it in depth.
I'm just saying, I don't know the right answers either.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's tough, you know, maybe better access to mental health in general.
We should do what...
So I think we need to invest money into actually studying gun deaths because the CDC was actually not allowed to study deaths by a gun up until like just a few years ago. And then the amount of money that they put into it, right, is very insignificant comparatively to other things, right? So if it is the epidemic that we're talking about, which we do have a problem with it, right?
Yeah.
Comparatively. And not all of it is with an AR-15. We also have, you know...
Most of it's handgun and suicide.
Yep. And, but we need to study it all, right? To maybe come up with an answer. Because there is not a good answer that's on the table right now.
Switzerland had a pretty good answer.
What was that?
They teach everybody proper gun safety. And everybody, like, you're allowed to just have a gun.
Well, I think they do 6 months of, like, of service, too. So you have to do, like, 6 months of service in, like...
Once you're 18.
Yeah, in their National Guard. Then you get trained, and then you get to keep your firearm that you train with.
That's probably a little difficult for us to do with such a big difference in our population.
Well, and not only that... Right, and then you're forcing people...
fundamental freedoms and how we choose to do things differently in this country.
But we could, like, do some sort of, like... Even if it's like a high school fucking high school college credit, dude, and people are gonna freak out about this.
Especially right now.
But like, teach fucking gun safety.
Back in the '70s, though, you had kids drive to school with a hunting rifle in the back of their truck, and nothing happens. So we have to figure out, you know, what's going on different and how we need to address that.
Yeah, opening day is like a huge thing in like fucking.
Sure, and a lot of it boils down to access to better mental health and the ability to offer people services in that regard, because obviously we had guns before and we managed them like adults, and yet for some reason in the last 20 years that idea started to go out the window.
Cut a lot of funding from like publicly instituted mental health, like
I'm all for it. You know, I don't like a whole lot of socialized spending because there's always this give an inch, take a mile mentality where all of a sudden $1 turns into 10, turns into 100, turns into 10,000 million.
Yeah,
but at the same time, there are some things we do need, you know, and it's clear in this country that, you know, with the different world that we live in today, you know, we've got much different problems than people had 50 years ago. And I think that mental health is not addressed enough, not taken seriously enough. And so having better access to that for people is not something I'm opposed to.
Yeah, I feel like men have been demasculated and then turned toxic.
Yeah. Tell me more.
I don't know. Bunch of goddamn pussies running around crying about shit.
Yeah.
No, I cry about shit all the time.
but I get kind of what direction you're going.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I don't know. Like my dad, for example, he doesn't fucking talk about anything, dude. And he's, as far as I can tell, he's happy. Got a boat. He goes fishing.
Sure.
You know, just chills.
Well, you know, and there's the placebo effect.
I want to be like that.
The more you tell people that they have a problem, the more likely they are to believe it.
I mean, your dad can just not talk to you about it, you know what I mean? He's got other resources at his disposal, too, because, I mean, he's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I catch your drift.
Yeah.
I like how you didn't say it, though, because you're not supposed to.
I know, and I didn't. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to bring that up, you know?
No, for sure. Yeah, dude, I'm off my game right now, guys. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Nice, you'd be holding up just fine. Man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think you're doing great.
I fasted all day.
Did you?
I didn't eat till we had dinner just now.
Wow. You're gonna do intermittent fasting?
No, just one day a week for like 18 hours.
How's it feel, Stacy?
No, I feel fine now. I just ate.
That whole first part of the day, though, that was the
first part
of the
day. Well, actually, I cleaned a lot, dude. I felt like I had a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just had, like, some apple cider vinegar, squeezed a lemon in there.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm trying to work on my gut health, dude. It's Speaking of my dad, he's got some gut problems.
These are the things we start worrying about when we get older.
Yeah, oh yeah, my God. Yeah.
All of a sudden you turn 30, you're worried about gut health. You're talking about air fryers, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, I fucking love my air fryer so much.
Turned 30 now? A couple months.
29.
Oh, yeah, okay, you're a little bit.
He turns 30 a couple months after I do.
Yeah.
Dude, we're going to have a dirty 30 do-some date.
Oh, hell yeah, we are, dude. We can just load up on Tannerite and just, you know.
You know what I want to do? I want to get a bunch of Tannerite and just put it in like a 5-gallon jug.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just see how big a boom.
I've been dreaming about it, but that's like $300 worth of
Tannerite. You ever watch those YouTube videos where they just go hard in the paint? They build like entire like underground pipe bombs of Tannerite and just blow up a bunch of dirt or trees. I've seen them blow up entire trees.
Yeah, I've seen
the
ones where they just like go on this hill with a 50 cal and they're just like do through the woods, dude. It's they're pretty sick.
Or you just do it like I did back when I was a kid, you know. I don't know what like the statute of limitations is on this one here, so hopefully, you know, the
right. Your friend did it.
Yeah, my friend. Yeah, your friend. My friend, you know, who, you know, I can't even remember his name anymore. It's been so long, but what he used to do is he would go out to like a cinder pit and you get a 5-gallon propane tank. And you take a road flare and you tape it to the side of it. So now you got your heat source. And you just step back, shoot that puppy, and you'd stay at least 100 yards back and duck behind something because it doesn't just blow up. You're punching a hole through both sides, and then it's igniting. And it takes off like a bottle rocket with no fins. You don't know what direction it's going. It might go up for a bit, then it might come right back at you. Yeah. And, dude, I mean, that'll put the fear of God in you so fast and an adrenaline rush. Like, you'll feel alive.
That's what we like to call redneck roulette.
Dude, it's the only way to live life, man. Well, I had that feeling a few times. One of them is shooting stuff like that, and the first time I tried bull riding.
Okay. So, speaking of fear of God, this is just a topic that I want to talk about.
Sure.
Like, the future of mankind, right?
Yeah.
Like, climate change is kind of real.
Yeah.
Climate change is real.
Sure.
And, you know, we suck as humans.
Yeah.
So, what do you think our future is?
Our future, like, in general, you said, like...
Well, like, AI, automation, going to Mars, colonizing the solar system.
Sure. I mean, I think that's all in the cards, you know? Like, to really quick touch base back on the global warming part, and it was interesting that you segued it off of God, because as somebody myself who's Christian, I always find that to be, like, a really funny misconception that people think that, like, Christians and conservatives don't believe in that stuff. But if you look in Genesis... in the very first, but just for the sake of conversation, if you look in Genesis, we were given two purposes. You know, one of them was to have a relationship with God and to be caretakers of the earth. So, you know, Christians should probably step up a little bit on the whole, you know, take care of the earth part, you know, so we need to do
I
more.
I think we all should.
Yeah, we all should. Oh, I know. I'm just, you know, speaking for myself, I guess. But, we need to do a better job in that front. You know, we need to be better with clean energy and, you know, working on that sort of stuff. And I don't know, man, I think Daddy Musk might take us to Mars. It's very possible. Have you been watching any of those landings going on with his experimental shells?
Yes.
Did you see the video of the monkey playing video games with his brain?
Dude, Neuralink looks sick. Like, I cannot wait to... I mean, podcasts are going to be dead by then. But I'm going to send you a text from my mind. You know? I'm not going to have to use my fingers to do it.
Mm.
And then who knows, dude? Who knows?
There's so much.
It might be like artificial insemination and cloning. Lose our junk and we're finally these getting big brains.
What I'm really excited for, you know, and your podcast will be around for this, is we've only got, I think, 2 more months left until the CIA's deadline to reveal all documents in relation to unidentified flying objects.
So
that was a big congressional action last year.
Yeah, in the fucking COVID relief bill.
Yeah,
they were like, I guess we could send them some payments, but you're going to have to do this first.
But we want to know about the Skype people.
Yeah.
Time to talk.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool, you know, because, like, you know, I think that I personally, I think they're out there, man. We live in way too big of a universe for us to be the only life. And if we don't have the smartest life in there, then God help the universe.
Right.
I hope that there's better, more
like
intelligent
beings
out there.
It's mathematically impossible for us to be the only ones.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. You know?
Does that conflict with, like, your religious beliefs?
Not at all.
No?
I don't see how it would. Yeah, that's a good question, because, you know, I know there's a lot of maybe people out there who might not agree with me.
I just never really
religion.
Go to church much. I don't like...
I mean, you know, I'll just put it this way. I've read the Bible, and I never saw any exclusionary part in there that said we were the only planet. I never saw anything in there that said we're the only people. You know, so who's to say that, you know, the story that was left for us isn't the only story out there?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you don't have the answer for this, but yeah. I mean, does would that make there be like space Jesus somewhere? You know what I mean? I mean, could maybe. Be, right?
I can't answer that question
if,
for anybody.
What if God is just like a scientist from another species or another
it very
world
well could
who
be.
Was just like...
The Bible says that he created us in his image. Yeah, so
those monkeys right there.
You know what? Maybe it's more along the lines of traditional belief. Maybe it's just a really advanced... Who knows? Whatever it is, it's greater than me. Right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's all
yeah.
I was told in that book. So, as far as I know, you know, I'm on board with alien Jesus. You know,
The most change I know about the Bible is like,
just try to be a good person, care about others, and follow a good role model, and believe it's something out there.
I went
know,
to, we went to youth
me.
Camp one time.
Oh, those are the best. These are the good stories.
Yeah. And like, I mean, the whole time we were just trying to get girls' phone numbers and stuff. You know, because
that was a fun time.
We were young, and that was like. That was like
that was
scored,
the goal.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I got her phone number. You know?
Yeah.
But the only like Bible thing I remember is like the story of fucking Abraham. You know? And I vaguely remember.
And that's a fucking intense.
Yeah,
story.
That's a banger.
Yeah,
that's an intense story too.
But yeah, no, it doesn't really conflict. You know, I know it's not the more traditional line of thought, but you know, I'm not going to pretend to know. I'm not going to pretend like I have the answers. I'm not even going to pretend to try to tell everybody that my particular beliefs are right. They're just what I believe in. Oh, shoot, man.
Yeah.
It could be aliens.
Yeah, I definitely believe in, like, God. I'm not big enough to know if it's the capital G or not. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I do believe there is some sort of, like, energy, manifestation, whatever that controls like the inner workings of our universe.
Well, there's gotta be, you know, and like I feel like, you know, and I hopefully I don't offend anybody on the other end of this podcast, but I feel like the only belief that's impossible to me is atheism. You know, the only thing I can't believe is that anybody
it's
would
just a random occurrence.
That it's a random occurrence and that B were the best thing since like sliced bread.
Yeah.
You know, that there is no intelligent design, that there's no plan, because I remember even as a teenager, like my first real reality check with, even if it wasn't Christianity, just accepting the fact that there had to be a power greater than ourselves in some way, that was intentional. And that was looking at an anthill. You know, I'm just staring here, looking at this anthill, you know, hanging out, hiking with some friends, and I remember thinking to myself, I'd seen on Discovery Channel or something that ants are, like, the most populous living organism on the planet. There's, like, a million to every one human out there. Some crazy number,
yeah,
right?
There's billions and billions and billions of them.
And so you fathom that, right? You feel like there's billions of billions to every one human, right? And I'm looking at these ants, and so I have to ask myself, I'm like, you know what? If that's the numbers, odds are only one out of a billion ants ever sees a human, right? So can like an ant believe that humans exist if almost none of them ever see it? Do we exist to them? And more importantly, thinking about what that little brain can process, which really isn't much, from its perspective, an ant could never even begin to fathom what a human being is, how it functions, how it operates, how it thinks, feels, what it's capable of. Its brain can't process that. So how could my brain ever process the depth of the universe, the depth of creation, the depth of things that could be out there? I think that our mind...
Oh, we're trying.
We're trying. We're making some good progress, but I think that we are being disingenuous if we don't accept a little humility in realizing that there's a lot of things out there that we just might not even be able to fathom as human beings that are beyond our ability to comprehend.
Yeah.
I mean, shrimp can see colors that we don't even know exist. They have more, some kind of cone in their eye. I'm not a biology guy.
They're more receptive to
I do like my, you know, natural, you know, Discovery documentaries and all that stuff.
I've watched every space documentary there is.
They can see some crazy colors apparently, right? Like, it would be so much fun at a rave. And so, like, they're out here, like, perceiving the universe in a way that my brain could not even compute in my wildest dreams, no matter how intelligent we got, because my eyes don't even have the mechanism required to see this. So, you know, for us to think that we can really solve the universe and really understand, you know, divinity and whether or not there's greater beings and stuff like that, I feel like it's arrogant on our part to try to say that we can rule it out.
Yeah, I think my the biggest like thing issue I have with atheism is like this whole idea, and the metaphor is like if you throw your clothes into the dryer, no matter how many times you run that cycle, they're never going to come out perfectly folded, right? And like things work together in the universe in which way that really doesn't make sense, right? It, from a logical standpoint of like not having some sort of design factor behind it, you know what I mean? And so That's why I can never fall all on board on atheism.
The universe is too perfect for it to not have had some sort of intent. And just because my mind can't fathom concepts like infinity, multiple dimensions, you know, I'm limited by time and space, like that's how my entire existence is built around processing things in these terms. The fact that there could be something beyond those limitations that operates outside of that, I'm never going to have the capacity to comprehend what that looks like. So I can't pretend like I know for a fact that it's not real. Hmm. You know, at best I can say, you know, maybe I don't see it, but I can't rule it out. You know, I have to understand the limitations of what I'm capable of understanding and just accept the fact that there's probably some bigger fish in the ocean out there than me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Our sun is a grain of sand on the beach.
On a big beach.
On a big beach. Like
big old beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't fathom it sometimes either. Like, I sit there and, like, especially with, like, quasi-stellar objects. You guys know what these are?
I get excited. Yeah, yeah, I feel like you just insulted me in French or something.
listen, quasi-stellar objects. Okay. So there's these super massive black holes that are, like, billions of times the mass of our sun, and they're absorbing fucking, you know, shit. And more mass and more mass, and like this mass circling around this supermassive black hole starts to spin so fast and heat up and create energy in an electromagnetic field, and then all that energy builds up and it shoots out fucking kinetic energy at thousands of miles or thousands of times the speed of light in all directions and shit.
That's pretty cool stuff. Cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Like, it's like a real Death Star, you know? Just, like, way bigger.
Bro, I hope we aren't on the wrong side of the direction of one of those someday.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess so, I wouldn't even know what happened.
Yeah, though. Wouldn't even know.
They just detected, I think it was, like, a month or two ago, the first, like, gravitational wave, proving that gravity can be both, like, a wave and a... Having a brain lapse right now.
A wave and a not wave.
No, because there's like... Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. Never mind. Next subject.
There's some stuff on gravity.
Yeah, like gravity can be a wave and a force or whatever. Oh. You know?
Yeah, man, we're going to keep learning stuff. I mean, you know, the speed at which our society has been able to advance in like the last... 150 years, 200 years, pretty much, it's since like the Industrial Revolution.
Power of 100 every...
Yeah, once we got electricity, like, that was big. Then we got the internet, and that changed everything, you know? And who knows what's around the corner? Yeah, I'm excited, though, someday to, like, you know, be a boomer, you know, in, like, my generation, you know, when I'm, like, 70 years old, you know, driving down the road, you know, playing, like, I don't know, Smash Mouth or something, just trying to think of what would be, like, time relevant, you know, like, yelling at kids to stay off my lawn, you know. And
you're just singing Pierce the Veil.
Back in my day, we had MySpace. We invented the internet.
We had home phones connected to the wall.
I played Minesweeper on Windows 95 for 2 hours every day. Yeah. It's a trip, man. You know, it's crazy to think about where life's going to be in 50, 60 more years. But I'm excited. I'm along for the ride. Yeah. Who knows what will happen next?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I don't know. Don't look at me like that.
Well, tell me what happens next.
I don't know. Dude, I'm not that big.
Stay tuned and find out.
I am like this small fish in a big pond, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do my thing.
I'm trying to go fishing.
I'm just trying to have fun. Yeah, let's go fishing.
Let's go, dude.
I got a new pole last year. I got to use it one time.
I was down at Bullpen today, West Clear Creek, dude. And I got my goggles because that's my new hobby. That's been my thing for like the last years, like pole spear fishing and also finding people's lost stuff. Because all these people go cliff jumping. Yeah, I found an Android cell phone. I found an Apple Watch. Yeah. You know, all kinds of goodies down there. I'm getting a metal detector this year. I'm going to start diving around and finding some real goodies. But yeah, I was down there, dude, just those fish, man. So many down at the bottom of West Coast. They ready. They're waiting for somebody to cast a pole over there.
Okay. All right.
Guess we're going fishing.
Any more on politics?
Nah, I think we're good, man.
You don't want to talk more on politics?
I mean, we can. Okay. Yeah, but I think that's all the topics I can think of. You got anything?
Where's Bill Clinton just appointed to?
Bill Clinton was appointed to something?
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No.
I'm pretty sure.
There's no way.
They couldn't, man.
Hold on. I got my phone.
No way that guy found his way back into politics.
Was Bill Clinton just appointed a position in office?
Yeah, there's no way they...
Did Biden just appoint Bill Clinton head of something? I don't know how to find this shit.
Well, I mean, I feel like it'd be right there if it happened.
Yeah, right? If it was like a...
That sounds like big news.
Yeah.
You don't subtly put Bill Clinton back in office after his...
Nah, I swear I saw something.
Current affairs in the last decade or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, and his his affiliation with Lolita Express, there's no way that people would be screaming about that.
Maybe not.
What are you talking about?
I think we're talking about Epstein, Bill Clinton there.
Really, that's funny.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything on the job there.
Maybe it was just, you know. Propaganda on the right and the left is all the same.
I know what we can talk about. Kevin.
Yeah, that's me.
You're day trading now. Just
yeah,
living
let's
your
talk about that.
Capitalist dream. What yeah. What's your take on GME to the moon, my guy?
GME to the moon, man.
GME is not
I absolutely,
the moon. What do you
I love the concept, man. Get it there. I mean, that doesn't mean it's going to happen, though. So here's the reality is, like, it's actually a really cool story how the whole thing unfolded, and I don't feel like I need to bring many people up to speed. You know, anybody listening these days has heard all the references to GameStop. Basically, you know, you had a whole bunch of kids off of Reddit.
They're still holding that.
Get together and, you know, decided to pump up this stock because they didn't like the fact that, you know, the 1%, you know, conglomerates were out there trying to short them out. And they pushed them. They moved the needle, you know. And I mean, that's all, you know, that's all trading really is, you know, it's with these big hedge funds. They're just using a large sum of money to manipulate things. So what's wrong with a bunch of Redditors doing it?
Right.
Nothing.
There's nothing
so,
at all.
Okay, on that topic, do you have any GameStop stock?
I do not. And I did not ride that wave at all. And I don't regret it. You know,
I bought one share for $50 and I made $100.
I support anybody jumping in on it. You know, I support people who want to help the cause, you know, especially if you're going into it not expecting to make money and you just want to help stick it to the man, then by all means sign up. But for everybody that made $50, there's somebody that lost $50.
Right.
And you're always going to hear the people talking who made money, but the people who shamefully lost a ton of money, they ain't talking.
No,
they're not walking
not.
Around
they're
saying,
not.
Hey, everybody, I lost $1,000. So, you can't get so caught up in the hype because you're not seeing the full
no,
picture.
No, for sure. And that's why I only bought one share.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
So, you know, for everybody out there that's bragging about what they made, there are several others who lost just as much and more,
right.
And they ain't saying anything.
If you go onto Wall Street Bets at all, you know that there's way more people who've lost money.
Absolutely.
And
you
they
guys follow
and so,
Wall Street Bets?
I do, yeah.
Do you? Me too.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
know, every now and
then. Yeah,
you know,
it's hilarious.
They're pumping down stocks. You know,
yeah.
It's the intention behind it is pure. I kind of like that. I do question if the original people who started the movement are as purist as they sound. They're probably not. And so they just, in the reality, all they have to do is come up with something that everybody can get behind, and then they probably already owned a bunch of GameStop before
yeah,
doing
and then,
that.
And then
so
everybody else
millions,
buys,
and then
money.
They sell out, and they got rich.
Which is why a lot of retail investors that are getting in right now need to be careful, dude.
Sure,
don't just invest in, you know, what's
if you
trending,
heard about it
fucking...
on the news, you're too late for
yeah,
the party.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's what people need to understand. You know, with trading... You know, someone, and for the record, like, you know, I do day trading, and for people listening, it's very different than what we're talking about here. This is more of like swing trading or investing, day trading. You don't hold anything. You open a position in the morning, you're out of all your positions by the end of the day. You don't care what the company is, you don't care what their history is. You are looking for breaking news, you're looking for patterns, and you're in and out. You're just scalping money as you go. So, you know, I'm not the best person to talk to for investment advice, but I can safely say, you know, absolutely do your homework. You know, don't
yeah,
jump on
do,
board.
Do your due
pad.
Diligence.
I mean, Bitcoin has gone crazy, but remember, Bitcoin went crazy a couple of years ago, and then it tanked.
It always
it
does.
It dropped like 90%. So there are people out there who lost everything just being on the wrong side of that equation. So,
if they would have just held on, they you know, wouldn't have.
Yeah, find a good mentor, find some YouTube videos, take a class, you know, look into this stuff before you throw your bank account at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, don't... Don't throw your bank account at it.
Yep.
Throw what you can afford to lose.
Like anything else, you know, treat it like a, hey, man, I'm going to go to the casino with some friends,
exactly.
And I plan to take $200, and I don't plan to come home with it. You know,
yeah.
That's the mentality you need to have. That way, if you lose it, you're not disappointed, and you're not, you know, trying to come up with rent money all the
time. Right, and you don't fall into that depression and end up killing yourself.
If you treat the stock market like gambling, you'll get paid out like gambling. Sometimes you'll have big wins, but more often than not, the house is what wins and you lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't talk trash about Bitcoin, though, okay?
Is it going to the moon?
Huh?
It's already at the moon.
Yeah.
You think it's gonna crash? And yes, then go back up.
It has to. Everything. Yeah, it's an up and down cycle.
It's going to.
And when things go up exponentially fast, the size of the drop that follows is always that much bigger.
Yeah, it's going to do it. I'm going to hold through it. Yeah. But in 2024, when it has the... I'm having a brain fart again. Because they divide...
When it's come to fruition and there's no more...
I
know what you're talking about.
So when they Bitcoin mine every 4 years, they...
And it's going to run out. There's going to be no more coins left to mine in the next...
No, that's in like 2030.
Oh, okay.
But it's every 4 years, they have the supply chain.
Yeah, it's called the halving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in 2024, it's going to go back up again. It's probably going to be stagnant and then die off.
Yeah, sure. You can ride the wave, you know, or you could be real crazy and you can jump on Dogecoin.
Listen, you know what's funny about Dogecoin? Oh. I bought $100 worth of Dogecoin when it was worth three quarters of a penny.
Yeah. And now it's worth 6 cents.
So I sold that shit so fast.
And there's going to be rise and falls with all that kind of stuff along the way, you know. And so, if you want to throw some money at it and have some fun and see what happens,
but
you know, I wish the best.
I got into Dogecoin knowing exactly what it was. A fucking meme coin.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So when I saw, you know, and I sold it 4 cents. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, sell.
Yep.
You know? Jesus, dude, my brain, it's not, I'm not going to do this again on Sundays. I'm going to find a different day to fast, because my brain's not working properly right now. I think people should be really wary of, Wall Street bets right now.
Yeah.
If somebody's saying, buy this stock, don't buy that stock.
Buy Nokia.
Don't buy Nokia. I wouldn't buy any of those headlines.
I haven't seen Nokia since
I would invest
2005.
Yeah, I would.
They just won a contract to develop a bunch of 5G technology. 5G is going to be around longer.
Can I get
longer.
The brick phone again?
Yeah, if you really want
that,
to.
That thing was indestructible, man. Yeah. I want my brick Nokia phone back.
Yeah. Listen, just put your money in an ETF, dude.
Yeah, just be safe. Invest it. There's a million other side hustles out there in the world, too, you can learn that are, you know, just as good.
If you're making a 5 to 10% gain, you're doing better than most people on the stock market.
Absolutely.
So, there's that. How is day trading going for you?
It's been good. I've only been doing a little bit of it lately, though. Yeah, I've been kind of busy.
How's that going to look on your taxes?
It's going to look fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just filed last year for it, too. And that's another thing, if you're listening and you did any of that other stuff, make sure you're paying your taxes, because the IRS is definitely paying attention.
Yeah, definitely.
But I still am dabbling in it here and there, but right now I've kind of got a balance between that and my career, and I can't let, you know, a hobby interfere with my main thing that I got going. So I'm going right back into the peak of my busy season again. I've been slammed for the last 2 weeks nonstop, and it's only going to be that way again all through summer. So I'm trying to make sure that I'm not spreading myself too thin, you know.
I have a terrible habit of spreading myself too thin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do it, you know, which is why I try to avoid doing it. It's because it's what I just do by default.
I work a full-time job. I got a kid on the way. I got another kid. I'm trying to fucking start a business, and I do this podcast. And I just...
Hey, busy life, though, man. It's not always a bad thing. It's got its upsides, too.
It does. It does. But, I get to do this. This is fun.
Yeah.
This is like my bro time.
It's a good time. I'm enjoying it. Yeah, you know, I'm dabbling in it where I can here and there. You know, I'll probably pick back up into it again more in the winter months when things slow down at work, so that way I'm just not overdoing it.
Yeah.
Because the last couple weeks at work has been insane.
I think day trading is risky.
It is.
I've put my money in some stocks. I've put my money in stocks that, I think have a good future and I like their companies. I'm not necessarily I have money in Tesla, and that's not because I'm looking to make a bunch of money, even though I may or I may not, because people say Tesla's overvalued. People say, you know, it's going to keep going 1200 and they're going to do another share split. But I believe in what Tesla's doing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even if I lose a couple $100, I helped.
And that's
the difference between day trading and
totally
investing, right?
Yeah.
If you believe in a company,
And that's long term, and that has much better potential. Day trading, again, it's just within one day, intraday trading, you don't own or hold any stock positions at the end of the day. And it is known, if you watch even, you know, 10 videos on YouTube about getting into trading, if you're curious, one thing you're going to hear repeated across all the board is 95% of people who try to become day traders fail. You know, there is a high fail rate. It is a lot more complex than people give it credit for. A lot of knowledge around understanding chart patterns, being able to identify them, being able to make the right decisions and in the right amount of time. You have to be very good with computers. You have to be very fast. Things can change in a split second. And, you know, not being able to react in time to that change can be the difference between making $500 and losing $5,000, you know. So, you know, you got to be careful. It's not for everybody, but, you know, you can do it. There's people who do and do it quite successfully. And for me, you know, maybe some point in my life that might be the main thing. But for now, it's a side thing. I'm enjoying it and trying not to take it too seriously.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Right on. All right, well, you got anything else?
No.
You good?
Yeah.
You got anything else?
I think I'm good, man.
You good?
Yeah, but it's been fun. About your
yeet stick?
My yeet stick.
Your boom cannon?
Oh, you mean the thing that I don't have?
Your friend has it, yeah.
My friend has it. Yeah, I lost mine in a boating accident.
I want to...
Yeah, but no, yeah. Well, talk to you. I can give you a little bit more. Yeah, I can tell you, I did order a new boom stick that'll be in a few months that I already lost in a fishing accident. but it's a pretty cool one, you know. I decided to do my first AR9 build, and it's unfortunate that it's already lost like that. But if I did have it, you know, at some point in time, it'd be great to just, you know, go out shooting when I don't have to pay 60 cents around for 9mm.
It might be illegal before you get it all put together.
Well, not in Arizona. Thank you, DC. Oh, yeah. Thanks, appreciate DC. You, buddy.
Yeah.
You done good.
That's funny. All right. Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me. Yeah. Let's come out here and do this again.
You have beautiful little curly hair.
I just missed your man bun.
Have you seen it before?
No. I mean, like, not in person.
I'm going for that, like, Snapchats. That, like, you know, samurai ponytail. You know what I'm saying?
Like a little top knot. Tom Cruise last samurai action. Yeah. I mean, you got like the recovered alcoholic part now.
Yeah. So, sake.
Might as well that movie's learn how to use a sword.
That's a great movie.
It's actually, yeah, it's pretty good.
I thought it was okay.
I tend to beat up on Tom Cruise a little bit.
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, I know he's a topic today. Minority Report.
Yes, I guess. See?
Yeah.
See, you can try to hate the guy.
Tom Cruise, it's your day today, boy. All right, guys. Love y'all. Thanks for listening. If you are. And we'll have you come back. We'll have more, like, maybe, like, a more structured conversation. This was all over the place. But that's kind of how I want it to be, so fuck them. And get used to hearing John's voice.
Yeah.
Brand new, good time.
Have a beautiful night.